Sit on down and pour yourself a glass.
And tune into your favorite podcast,
where things will be misquoted
and opinions ain't sugar-coated.
'Cause DJ and Kelly are locked and probably loaded.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Locked and Probably Loaded with DJ and Kelly. I'm your host, DJ Qualls, and I'm here with Kelizzle Blackheart. Hey, Kelly.
Kelizzle. I like that. Very snazzy.
Have I never called you Kelizzle?
I mean, I've probably blocked it out.
Like so
I was just saying I liked it for this podcast.
Like so many things I've done and said to you before, I'm sure. How are you?
We're a little cranky, right?
I am cranky as hell. I woke up at 5 o'clock this morning for no reason and was up until 9:30. I tried everything except anything. I didn't do anything. I laid in bed. I had some anxiety. I took a quarter of a milligram of Klonopin, which I'm prescribed. And that sort of settled me down around 9:30. And then I woke up just hating the world, but it's getting better. This diet Mountain Dew.
It always takes you a little while to get into the
I'm
day.
At my best between 4:35 p.m. and like 6 midnight. O'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I woke up to the sound of some neighbor children bouncing balls and screaming at 7 a.m. And then...
I love kids. So do you love kids? I actually do love kids.
I do too, but I just don't like waking up to the screeching noises. And then it was so fucking windy. It's 80 mile per hour winds. And so the patio on my roof is just the hammock's blown over. All of the couch cushions are everywhere. I found one on the sidewalk outside of my house when I took Rhino for a walk.
The good
this
thing about it, when the wind blows here, nobody goes outside. So all the restaurants and bars are completely empty.
But the traffic is terrible.
Yeah, well, the traffic's always terrible.
And I got sand in my eyes.
Oh, no.
I know. It was really sad.
I'm not even going to first world problems you with that, but you get sand in your eyes anywhere.
It was aggressive, yeah.
Speaking of children, did I tell you that recently I went and got I got the battery of man test? Like, I got a prostate exam. I got the full everything. Testosterone checked, all that stuff, and surprisingly the only thing I had was slightly elevated cholesterol. I was like, really? It was the most shocking thing that's ever happened to me. I mean, the amount of stuff I did in my 30s and to walk away sort of this unscathed. But my doctor said to me after he put his fingers inside me, did I tell you the first time the doctor did this? This is my second prostate exam. I like him. No, it's my second prostate
exam. He was really sweet about it.
the first time it's an uncomfortable position to be in, right?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody knows what a prostate exam is, right? You get somebody sticks their finger up your butt. And despite what you may think, a Southern Baptist convention, I don't always enjoy that. I grew up Baptist, I can say that. The first time I had it done, I was super uncomfortable, and then this is what he said to me. It was like, well, it's not exactly comfortable to me either, bro. And I'm like, doctor,
why did he get so defensive? He chose that profession.
You cannot put your fingers inside me and call me bro. That is a violation of our relationship.
Why are you only thinking about yourself in this situation, doctor?
I mean, he was trying to, you know, it wasn't like that, but he did call me bro.
Yeah.
Like, and then he stuck his finger inside me. Anyway, that's really not the point of the story. He mentioned to me that he asked me, did I want children? And I said, I don't want children. And he was like, well, I was like, why? And he's like, because this is sort of the last responsible time in your life that you can have them. And I didn't really think about that. And now I've got late stage baby fever because I don't want children. But I mean, and his point was, I don't want to be 85 years old at my child's, you know, first grade graduation. That's what kids do. Maybe I really shouldn't have children.
Yeah, when you told me that actually inspired. I'm writing a pilot about that. But I loved that your doctor said that because, as you know, I was an egg donor for a long time.
Yeah.
And I think I mean, that's one of the reasons that I chose not to donate to a previous person that I had donated to before, because once I found out how old he was and he wasn't in great health and all that stuff, I was like, this isn't ethical. Like, you shouldn't have had the first kids I donated, not the kids that I donated, but you shouldn't have gone through with that, because now he is dead and they're like 12 or 13.
And they're without a
parent. They're without a dad.
Yeah.
And I don't think people talk about that enough. Like, we talk about, especially like celebrity or rich men who have kids later in life because they've got a young wife and the wife wants kids. It's like, yeah, but you're fucking 70.
I wonder,
that's such a cruel thing to do.
Do you think that sperm quality degrades? Like, you know what I mean? Like genetic defects?
Yeah.
Is there any of that?
I mean, assume so.
I don't know.
After 40 years of Mountain Dew, hell yeah.
My sperm are on crutches at this point, I'm sure. But when you were telling me that story, for some reason, I was thinking that Mr. Burns is the father. Like a rich old man, like a rich cranky old man.
Definitely a pathological liar. I mean, I truly have a lifetime movie worth of stories from egg donations.
Not without my embryos.
Keep your hands off my embryos.
A woman trying to flee the country in the middle of the night with her embryos.
Yeah, I mean, that guy had the cops come to my house in the middle of the night.
What?
For a wellness check. I mean, it truly got insane. He wanted me to be...
Is it because he followed you on Instagram?
Yeah, he's like, why the fuck does this chick keep talking about her mental health on the internet? Shut up. No, he really wanted me to be a part of the kids' lives, and I wasn't comfortable with that. Like, I was comfortable with donating, but I didn't know how I was going to feel down the road. And
he wanted you to be a mother figure?
Not a mother figure, but, like, I'm in their family photos from
Kelly,
when the kids are, like, 3.
That feels wildly inappropriate.
I know. I truly have so much PTSD from this situation. He tried to get my mom and I, like, pit my mom and I against each other. He told the kids that I had cancer.
Is this not anonymous?
It was supposed to be. So I'll start at the beginning. It's supposed to be anonymous. I had donated to them originally, and they got pregnant with twins and miscarried. And so I donated again. Oh, wait, actually, before that, I was supposed to do my first donation with them, and he was being really difficult with the egg donation agency, and so they were like, well, we're just not going to work with you anymore. And he kind of had this frantic moment where it's like, oh no, I had picked this who I thought was the perfect egg donor. Like, I really want her. We've already decided this. They knew where I played volleyball. So they...
No.
I don't want to say they, because it wasn't the wife. It was definitely the husband. But he emailed my coaches. And at this point, I was already done playing volleyball. I'd gotten injured. And my coaches didn't like me, because I guess that was a really bad thing to do, to get injured. It really inconvenienced them. So he emailed them saying, I need to talk to Kelly about our transaction. So basically made me sound like a, I don't know, a sex worker or like a drug dealer to my coaches.
It sounds like something pretty nefarious.
So the coaches bring it to the athletic director. And at this point, I'm still working in the athletic department to keep my scholarship. And they call me in and grill me on this. And I was like, I don't know anybody named this. You know, like, I have no idea who that was. And I'm like thinking about it the whole day.
Because you didn't know his name.
I didn't know his name.
Because it was
I didn't
anonymous.
Know anything about him. Like, but they had my profile. They had pictures and like education. And I was playing volleyball on scholarship. So that was one of the reasons that they had picked me, like athletic or whatever. And so at the end of the day, I was like, oh my God, I wonder if that's the guy. So I called the egg donation. They're like, yes, we're so, so sorry about that. Like, that's crazy. That shouldn't have happened.
Did you find out exactly how, like, did he bribe somebody?
He just sent them an email and basically saying, like, he wanted to get in contact with me, but the egg donation agency wouldn't put him in contact with me because that's not how it's supposed to work. So he was trying to find any avenue to get to me. And so when I talked to the egg donation agency, they were kind of like, we're so sorry about this. Like, we totally understand if you...
Because it was in your profile that you played...
That I played
volleyball.
Whatever university.
Okay.
So anyway, it ended up that I felt badly for him because I just saw it as a move of desperation. And so they were like, we will move forward with him if you want to do this, but we'll make him pay more money. And I was like, okay, that's fine. So I donate to them a first time. They get pregnant with twins, have a miscarriage. I donate again. And they got pregnant with triplets and lost one of them, but ended up having twins. And I hope I'm not giving too much information, but I feel like it's very vague.
I don't know what this is.
So At that point, they had sent a letter to me through the agency. So the agency mailed it to me. And it was just like this really, really beautiful letter that was like, thank you so much for this gift. Like, you don't know how much this means for our family, blah, 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 whatever. And, you know, of course, that made me cry. Like, I really was being an egg donor because I loved the idea of helping people. Like, the money was a side benefit, but I really thought about like the psychological effects that it would mm-hmm. have and all of these things. So they're like, if you would be willing to talk to us, like, here's our number, give us a call. So I was like, what can a phone call do? So I give him a call and we're all like crying on the phone, getting along great, blah, blah, blah. And then as time progresses, he knows that I'm, you know, about to graduate college. I'm looking for jobs. He's got this company that I can come be the VP of marketing at, blah, blah, blah. So I start working with him. But
what?
Yeah. Originally, he...
What are you doing here? You should be at home right now writing this Lifetime movie. This is a Lifetime movie. Call Dean Cain immediately.
It gets so much crazier, dude. He originally, like... came up with this idea for essentially an OnlyFans thing,
okay.
a business that he wanted to start. He's like, girls will get naked to pay for college. And I was like, okay. And he wanted me to be like the face of the company, not a
you
model on
naked.
It, but no, just like the, he didn't think that you're, he would
be the
one
clickbait.
To, yeah,
I
was going to be the one doing the interviews and all that stuff. And I was like, I don't really know if I feel comfortable with that. Like with that, I'm 21 years old. Like I'm not ready to make a decision about my reputation or anything like that early. I had done plenty of things to ruin my reputation. I don't even know why I was concerned, but, so I start working with him in this other industry and he was just so difficult to work with. Like, cause we would be setting up these massive meetings, that if the deals had gone through, we would be making millions of dollars. And it was in the renewable energy industry. But we would go to these meetings and he was so bad at answering hindsight's 2020. I think it's just because he was a pathological liar and he lied about so many things. He knew how to get himself into the room, but didn't know how to answer right. hard questions. And so anytime somebody would ask him a question that he couldn't answer, he would just start kind of freaking out. And he just burned every bridge. And so my job was basically trying to mend the bridges that he already burned.
You were 21 years old?
Yeah. And so that's like what got me started in that industry. But anyway, as time went on, I did this other egg donation that ended up making me really sick. And I gained 100 pounds in a year because it got canceled. I had the hormones sitting in my body, blah, blah, blah. All this shit happens. And I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. But he wanted me to donate again. And so he's like, we'll do anything. We'll offer you $25,000, blah, 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 whatever. And I was like, I can't do it. Like, I got sick. And also, like, I don't feel comfortable because of where you're at in your life. You know, like, I don't think this is the right thing
to
do.
You are a fucking weirdo.
Yeah, and he kept begging me and all that stuff. So me saying I'm sick, he told the kids that I had cancer and he would like have them call me and leave voicemails like, hey mom, we heard you're sick, we hope you feel better soon, hopefully when you get better we can go to Disneyland.
Wait, they're calling you mom?
He would call me mom to them. It was so fucking disrespectful because the wife is the one who carried them for 9 months. She takes care of them, but he would like constantly reference me as mom in front of her and the kids, which was fucking wild. He knew that my mom really wanted grandkids. So this was before any of my nephews were born. And so he appealed to her in that way. So he would send her pictures all the time and like got her really involved. My mom would buy gifts and all this stuff. But he was trying to get to me through her. And so eventually he ends up like trying to email both of us saying like, she's saying this about you, she's saying this about you. And we're like, we talk, like we're comparing notes and none of this fucking makes sense. So I stopped. I sent him an email. I said, stop fucking doing this. Don't talk to me anymore. Don't fucking call me. Don't do anything. I better not ever hear from you again. And a couple days later, it was in the middle of the night. It was like 2 a.m. I hear this loud banging at the door. And I thought it was my neighbor because he was ex-military and he just didn't know an appropriate knock. Like it was just every time he was storming the Capitol. So I'm freaked out. I wait, knock again. So I go to the front door. At this time, I'm fostering a pit bull. I open the door and we have this long staircase up to the front door and there are like 6 to 8 cops like kind of up and down the stairs. And my dog, who's really friendly, like runs outside and she's going to like sniff people. And the cop pulls a gun and he goes, get your fucking dog before I shoot it. And I was like, what's good? Like, I just woke up, you know, like, and you're at my door. And so I'm like, what? And so I put Callie inside. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, we're here for a wellness call. Your baby daddy called because you said you're sick. And I was like, and this is how you come to my house? Like, if you really thought I was sick, you're coming to my house
and
with guns drawn?
He called himself your baby daddy.
And I go, I don't have a baby daddy. And they're like, well, your boyfriend or whatever. And I go, I don't have a boyfriend. And I go, oh my God. Because it didn't click for me right then either. I just thought maybe they were at
crazy.
The different house.
It's
like
very
a wrong
hard
house.
To make sense out of crazy.
It was so unreal. And I go, I donated eggs to somebody. And they're like, yeah, that's probably what it is. And I was like, wow, how did this fucking happen? And apparently he didn't even know my new address. He had sent the cops to my old house in Costa Mesa. I was living in Long Beach at the time. So he had to call twice to get them to come then to my Long Beach place. I'm just like, crazy.
And is he dead? Is that
yeah,
what
he's
says
dead.
He's dead?
So well, it's a good ending after all.
Well, I mean, I'm asking because even though I'm cranky, I'm altruistic or protective, and I wouldn't want the story to go out and then re-aggravate and or remind anybody
right.
to start hunting you down again, because we hang out now.
Yeah. No, he passed away. And then I also did another egg donation in India, where the guy who ran the international travel or like the medical tourism agency ended up stealing all of our money and fleeing the country. It was like that was reported on all that stuff. So I went to India, did a full ass egg donation in a country that I don't know, stayed there for 17 days and all my money got stolen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane. I didn't know this, but this is the stuff of Lifetime movies. You are doing yourself a disservice.
It truly, like,
it would sell like that.
I think I'm missing so many different details. I need to like write down the full story so that, and like I still have old emails that I can kind of piece together things with. But truly, so fucking wild. And like my brother Scott, I think he knew the whole time that this guy was a bullshitter. But the internet wasn't as workable at the time, so I didn't know really how to look up any of his legitimacy. And he was really connected to some powerful people, not necessarily like super powerful, but like in business and all that stuff. So a lot of things seemed legitimate, but looking back on it, I'm like, oh, that must not have been true. That must not have been true.
You
like,
never told me this. That's crazy.
Well, there it is.
I'm serious. Even if it's a Lifetime movie, you need to write this down. That's so crazy to me.
Yeah.
It's crazy the absolute failure of protection.
Yeah. I don't even think the egg donation agency knows any of this shit that happened. Because like at the time, you're just like, this is fucking weird. But it's only in telling the entire story back that I realized how fucking insane all of it was.
And people who donate eggs, are they typically like younger women? Like in
I think 30 is the oldest you can be to
do it.
Yeah,
so 21, it would probably be a typical age to be doing this.
Yeah, I did it from like 19 to 27 or something like that.
So nuts.
Really fucking crazy. So if you're thinking about doing an egg donation, I think it's a really good thing to do, but I think a lot of people do it because they see, oh, you can make $10,000 or something like that, and don't think about.
And also ask questions at the facility, at the egg donation. I don't even know what it's called. He should never have known. They should never know where you play sports.
Yeah,
it shouldn't be so specific that you could be found. That's the thing, is that it is their job to look through that stuff and see that the information is specific enough to tell the type of person it is, and all the health stuff without being able to be tracked down.
Right.
I mean, it would be the equivalent of somebody saying, "Well, the guy that donated sperm to us, he's one of the top 5 skinny actors in the world. He lives in Studio City." That narrows it way down.
Totally. It was fucking wild, man. But all of my like most traumatic stories, genuinely, I'm kind of happy they happened, because I do love a good story.
Of course,
you know. And so now when bad things happen to me, I just feel like this is for the plot.
I mean, stuff like that's hard to tell at like a wedding, but
it's a very niche subject to get into. Really, so it is, you walked me right into that. I couldn't avoid telling that story, but yeah.
Well, at least.
And now you know something about me.
I'm glad I do. At least it's not a guy with a guitar at a party. I'll take that any day of the week. I'll take a story about eggs.
Give me a wellness check from the cops every night at 3 a.m. I do not care.
We were talking about that on the way over here. It's It is being held hostage. It's a guy finds a guitar or brings a guitar to a party, and you are beholden to this. You are supposed to nod and stare into space until this person is done. The absolute lack of self-awareness in that makes me insane.
And they always play so seriously too.
I know. And they make serious singer faces. And no. And I've gotten to a place where I'm like, either I will leave the room unceremoniously, like not even make an excuse for it, or I'll just be like, man, why are you doing that?
You should boo and leave the room.
No, I would never do that. I'm too nice for that. Speaking of being nice, when I woke up this morning, I'm groggy. I don't want to be awake. I started getting my head about this podcast, and a lot of this is storytelling. A lot of things that we're relating stories and things that have happened in our lives and what we learned from them, what we didn't learn from them, and all that stuff. And because we're doing that, and especially with myself, some of the stuff I'm saying is there's negative feelings to work through with that. Mm-hmm. And I was going through some of the stories that I told, you know, about my early days in Los Angeles and working in Hollywood. And some of the stuff is negative. And I became concerned that that was the vibe that I'm putting out. And what I'm doing, I'm just relating. And I don't want to get to a place with this. I mean, the idea of this was to have a safe space to just be yourself and to talk and talk freely. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be a guarded, but at the same time, I would really like for you both, if you see me getting to a negative space about something, I mean, not necessarily one incident, but you know me.
Yeah.
If you find that I'm going negative, that you both are the people who I could hear it from.
Right.
And I just don't want that to be my message, because I feel so lucky every day. I mean, well, I don't feel lucky every day. For the first 3 hours, I'm cranky. But then I feel so lucky.
For the first 3 hours, I wish I was dead.
Yeah, exactly. I don't wish I was dead. I'm making a list of other people. It's just not the perception of me that I want out there, because it's not true.
Yeah.
Because I am so grateful and happy, and this is such a wonderful thing. We talked about doing this for 4 years, and I'm so stoked. Last night, you guys, we went out, and Kelly and I do trivia every Wednesdays and Sundays when I'm in town, and she's not too tired. But I do it usually every Wednesday and Sunday when I'm in town, and it's something that I really love doing. It's after I moved back to Los Angeles from Vancouver. It's how I found my new friend group. And it's something that I really look forward to every week, so much so that I will organize my travel around it. But last night, Isaac came with, we went 30 minutes early, and then Isaac got there a little late, so we got right before trivia, we were doing promo shots
for our intro. An entire photo shoot in front of a full bar of people, yeah. And that, I've never been so uncomfortable.
But here's
life.
The thing, I was uncomfortable about it for like 2 minutes,
yeah,
but
then I didn't
but
care.
Then I lost it, because I really believe in what we're doing, and Isaac was taking really cool photos, and it fits into the vibe of what we're trying to do here, and I think it's a visual representation of this journey that we're about to take ourselves and if we do get listeners on. And I just left the bar feeling really, really positive and happy. And then I woke up this morning and I was like, that's what I really hope people take away from this.
Yeah.
I mean, there is negative stuff, because there's negative stuff in the world, and I feel negative stuff, and I'm not going to not talk about that, but
right.
It's not the overarching thing. And I don't, and then I was like, you're in your head too much, because we laugh a lot.
Yeah.
Not at people.
It's funny that you say that, because that is my thought too. It's like, I also don't want to come off that way. We are like, we're so thrilled to be able to get to do this.
It's amazing.
You know, it's like, so.
And just the announcement yesterday. I mean, yesterday was a big move forward for me.
Yesterday was a great confidence booster.
It really was. We posted a quick announcement on social media and got an amazing response, like mm-hmm. way better than I thought. And so I'm really excited. I'm excited for our launch, which this will have already aired after that. The happy hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing a free happy hour, which you will have already known about. And if you didn't, where were you?
We missed you.
We did miss you. And we're happy that you're here now.
Yeah. I don't perceive, I haven't perceived anything as you being too negative. So
yeah, I really am the kind of, I mean, you know this, I'm the kind of person that doesn't mind a gentle or questioning my behavior,
right?
Or just asking reasonings for
what. But sometimes you're just grumpy for fun, yeah. For shits and gigs.
Oh yeah, I mean, shits and gigs. That's also a part of my personality, is that I'm grumpy as a kind of a character trait.
Like, yeah, like you tell me you want to bend my fingers back 3 times a week.
I do.
Out of love.
No, I say this kind of stuff. You better wear gloves the next time I see you. I'm going to bend your fingers back. That movie was terrible. Yeah, that kind of stuff. That's fake.
At any inconvenience, if this happens, I'm going to kill myself. That's both of us.
That's fake grumpy. That's probably like a good 12% of my personality, that part. And the other part is made up of happy and doing painful, expensive things to my face to look 5 years 5 years younger. 5 minutes younger, actually.
Yeah.
I can't wait for us to get our faces lasered off. That's going to be so fun. Those pictures are so scary.
I know. We're going to look like Lisa Frankenstein.
We're going to look terrible. We actually are going to look pretty rough for about a week, but I'm excited about it.
We did watch most of Poor Things after we recorded yesterday, which I was saying, I'm glad we recorded those episodes before we watched this, because I needed to be in a good mood. It was very strict. We haven't finished it yet. Yeah. There's still,
and
like
also,
35 minutes
we were
left.
Talking and promoing and all this other stuff during it. So we weren't really watching it. Visually, it's spectacular. Mm-hmm. It's strange.
It's strange.
It's strange. I don't mind strange, but it's strange. And the thing is, and I think it was, and I understood the messaging, and I liked it. And I love the fact, what I really liked about it was, because she's a grown woman with the growing brain of a baby in her head, and she's experiencing the world, she has no filter. Mm-hmm. And so she's able to say things. So I just had sex with some men for money, and now that kills your all the times you said I was pretty, you know what I mean, all the times you said I was wonderful, you know what I mean. And I thought that was because most movies will try to teach you that in a subtle way, but because she has no filter, she can just say those things very on the nose,
right?
And it's palatable. Mm-hmm. And so I really enjoyed that. The thing is, when you said that you almost watched it with your mom, I'm so glad.
My mom had it on the other day when I came home, and I was like, yeah, I can't watch it with you because I'm watching it with DJ tomorrow.
I'm the opposite. We are the opposite of prudes. There is a lot of sex in this movie.
A lot.
Like,
and so many dicks.
So many vaginas
and boobs.
I watched Oz 17 times just for that. I don't know how familiar you are with Oz, but it's set in a prison, so use your imagination. But the thing is, I think it's because she's so famous. Mm-hmm. That it's jarring. It's very hard to get used to that. It feels like access to, and also because we know her, like we, you know, we don't know her, but we know her,
right?
As the public, to see like gross, you know, sort of Toulouse-Lautrec style guys, you know, from scary French paintings around the turn of the century, like sort of be that intimate, forcefully intimate with her. It was jarring.
It was, yeah, it was a lot.
She's America's sweetheart kind of right now.
She's a baby.
Yeah, it's like
baby fuckers.
Yeah. Yeah, and also she has the brain of a baby,
right?
Yeah,
and it was an interest.
You kept saying that.
I was like, every guy that came on screen, I'm like, shut up, you baby fucker, you disgusting. Yeah. The crazy thing is like it kind of lined up with what we had talked about, like the more you know stuff that we were talking about in our last episode, because it truly showed. It's like as she got more educated, she was like learning about the world, and this man did not want her to ever become educated.
Spoiler,
I mean, yeah. A lot of fucking and reading books.
Yeah, but we haven't finished it, but so far my overall impression is that I like the novelty of it. And when I look at like paintings, for example, the things that are sort of the most iconic and the most famous are the first time that was ever done. And I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
And the motivations made sense. And like small things, like she had money. And there's a scene earlier where
God.
Frankenstein Sr. gives her some money. And connective tissue is very important to me because things have to make sense.
Yeah.
Unless it's a surrealistic thriller. In which case, it probably was supposed to make sense, but then they labeled it that because it didn't make sense, and you're dumb if you don't like it. Did you follow me with that?
I caught that. Yeah. Totally. Okay. And I'll be writing a report on it later as soon as I understand.
No, it's when things don't make sense that are supposed to make sense. They tell you that, well, it's not supposed to make sense anyway. Yeah. It's the whole thing with Lisa Frankenstein. Well, it's like, well, it's not supposed to be a
loser. Oh, you want your story to make sense? Yeah. What, you fucking snowflake. Yeah, exactly. You dumb bitch.
What are you, the secretary of things that make sense? Get out of here.
Oh, didn't know it needed to make sense for you. Yeah, they treat you like you're a moron.
Like a moron. You're like,
wait, how did she get the money? It's oh, very, really?
It's very effective. It's a really effective technique.
Constantly gaslit. And I'm like, exactly. Am I stupid? Every single day. Am I stupid? What's going on?
Oh. Exactly. Exactly.
I don't like being gaslit by Rotten Tomatoes. It's so embarrassing.
Yeah, out of all the things I want to gaslight me, I think Rotten Tomatoes is probably pretty low on that list.
Yeah. It's not even sentient. It's just a website, and it fucks with me. Speaking of things that are on websites, I sent you a video this morning, Isaac.
So... are you going to make me watch something?
Yeah.
See, I really love it when you do this because I live in a social media
sort of offline.
Yeah, like I discovered, you remember that song Bed Intruder? He's climbing in your windows. I discovered that like almost 10 years after it was on the internet and laughed at, like I have a reaction video of myself in bed in New Orleans watching it when I was there visiting once, and I laughed so hard I was afraid for my safety. Like it made me laugh so hard, but everybody else had already, so I'm texting everybody going, have you seen this? And like 10 years ago we saw that 10 years ago
we heard all the remixes. We saw it on The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
So I'm definitely a man on an island with this stuff, so I'm happy that you're...
So I went on TikTok today on our Loaded Pod profile, and this was the first video that was on my For You page.
Oh, right.
And I was like, whoa, that's weird. For a second, I was like, wait, did I post something with this caption on it? And then realized it wasn't us.
I was in Lafayette, Louisiana, and that's how you say it, not Lafayette, last weekend.
Ready?
Yeah.
DJ Qualls had driven in from New Orleans. DJ Qualls had his panel toward the end of the day yesterday. Paulo Costanzo, he was DJ's co-star in Road Trip, and they haven't seen each other in 20 years. So about halfway through the panel, Paulo came out.
Oh, that's so nice.
And I watched in real time DJ Qualls explain to Paulo Costanzo the daiquiri rule. Paulo was aghast. So if y'all don't know, if you're not from the region, so we have what's called drive-through daiquiri shops.
They sure do.
So you drive up with your car, you order an alcohol beverage, they hand it to you, and then you put it in the cup holder.
God bless
and
America.
As long as the lid is on it, and you have the straw in there, but the straw has the paper over that part of
That's
the straw,
right.
It's good. You could get pulled over. You're like, officer, I am well within the law here. I have the paper on the straw, and you're good. You're fine. And Paulo Costanzo was speechless.
And here's the thing. They told me that in Lafayette, that the straw can't be in the beverage, but in New Orleans, the straw can be in the beverage. Just the top of the paper has to be over the top of the straw.
So why don't people just bring a roll of tape?
I don't know. Or why don't you bring two straws?
Wow.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
Why did I think of that?
Here's the thing, Kelly. That wasn't my idea. That was homie talking that now that told me about that. I lived in New Orleans for 4 years and it never occurred to me.
You have straw money.
Yeah.
You've got straw money.
I was how many days old or ago that was. That's how old I was when I found out. That blew my mind too. I had the same reaction. We are just the same. Do not give us any hard decisions or heavy machinery.
Yeah, we should not be in charge of anything.
No, but they're on a different law system there. It's Napoleonic code. The land laws are different. You can walk around and you can get drinks to go as long as you can be on the street with anything and in your car as long as it's in plastic, not glass. There's so many arbitrary laws, and then you go to a bar in a house and Beauregard Robichaux open mouth kisses you without your permission.
Well, that was I think that's the Humble Show, right? So shout out to them.
What Humble Show?
That's who posted that. Giving them a shout out because we're using their content.
It's Humble. Oh, Humble with a 3 backwards show. Hey, Humble Show. I don't know if that one guy is a part of it, but he was a great panel mediator.
Oh, he was the panel mediator?
The guy who's with them on the right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he was the panel mediator. Oh, cool. And the guy on the left, I think he's telling that story to him.
Yeah.
Is that what you got from it?
Yeah. I didn't know we were analyzing that part.
Yeah. And also that picture of me was when I was experimenting with stripes.
I like it.
I was all stripes. You know,
I think that's a great look for you.
Well, I still have that in my closet and it still fits me.
Speaking of fitting.
I think I may go, what?
So we were in the car on the way here and you said, like, I was my sister-in-law's coworker has to come over today and drop something off.
We were having our morning bitch session, we were bitching
in the car the whole way here.
Whenever I'm having a cranky morning, Kelly and I like to just bitch about the things that we have to do, which are completely inane and not hard to do at all.
It's harmless bitching.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I hate dealing with strangers. And you're like, oh, I have to have a stranger come to my house for a fitting, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, I know all my measurements. Why can't I just get a cardboard cutout? And I was like, you should buy a mannequin. Like, you should get a custom mannequin.
And she did it as a joke. And now I want, all my measurements are on, I've had a life casting. They're all on my computer. I could, if anybody out there makes mannequins
or sex dolls. If it's a sex doll, though, he would like the Eric face Bana's to be replaced with Eric Bana
from 2009. Whatever Eric Bana looked like in 2009. But if you can make a replica of me that I could put in an Uber and send to a fitting, it would be life changing. I hate trying on clothes. So some stereotypes are not true. I hate shopping.
Me too.
I hate it.
Yep.
And I hate trying on clothes. It makes me crazy. I mean, because, you know, I'm a never nude, and they won't let you try on these clothes in the dark.
I've never even seen your elbows.
Here's the thing. Somebody actually told me that one day.
Oh, really?
Because here's the thing. You can't see me right now. You can if you're on Patreon, but I wear this to the beach. Like,
yeah.
Every day I wear a printed or a flannel shirt, some dark jeans, a hoodie, usually some sort of cap. I have hair. And that's the other thing. Somebody saw my hair one day. It was like, we thought you were bald. Because I wear a hat. I'm like, no, I just don't know how to do hair.
Yeah, it's a nuisance. Yeah,
it's that simple. But one day I was wearing a shirt. Oh, it was when I was in Thailand. And my buddy Abdul was like, I've never seen your arms before. And I'm like, we used to live together in New York City. There's a lot of inside there. And we were inside most of the time. And he was like, no, I've actually never seen your arms.
I've only seen up to where your tattoo is on your arm. But
that's
I've
so
never seen your elbows.
It's not like
what are your shoulders like?
It's amazing. It's not like I fear I'm going to be stoned to death if you see my elbow.
Yeah, you're just never not wearing. I'm trying to think of what did you wear to sleep when we were in Hawaii. I think you wore that to sleep when we were in Hawaii.
I wear my nighttime hoodie. I wear pajamas. I can't sleep without pants on. It was only 3 years ago I was able to sleep without socks on.
Wow.
It makes sense to me.
You're like the baby in the grown man's body.
I'm a what?
You're like a baby in a grown man's body.
I'm just learning all these things right
poor
now.
Poor thing.
Poor Eve. No, but my British accent yesterday was on point, right? It was.
Yeah. When did you do it? At the bar?
No, when I was imitating that man, that kind of British accent, that sort of aristocratic idea of a British accent is the only British accent I can do.
Well, I actually have another video. There's a British guy that feels like it's exactly your vibe, and he says our favorite British word in the video. So,
okay.
Can you pull up the laying down video?
Is it in that list you get?
Yeah. We text a lot, apparently.
You really do text a lot. Wow, nobody texts me.
Our texts are crazy. We have so many.
That's all boring stuff you don't want to hear about. Like,
here's the thing. I actually don't read your texts. I keyword search them.
Which video did you want?
Laying down, and then Renaissance Hangover is how I imagine DJ woke up.
Here's what everybody will understand as all the people there out there and I become best friends. If you ask me one question, you get back 16 paragraphs.
Yeah.
Really?
The way you text is one of my favorites. Like, sometimes I feel very inadequate in our text conversations because I don't know what to respond except for ha 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 ha.
My motto with texting, as in all things, is leave them wanting less.
No, I have so many screenshots of your texts, and they just like, you make me laugh so much via text. Not so much in person,
you.
But
I know. I
got that vibe this morning because all you responded with was a knife.
Oh, yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
I don't know you well enough to know what that means.
You better learn now. You've gotten the crash course.
You ready for this video?
This is DJ's spirit friend.
Well, you know, I fucking love laying down.
Oh, yeah.
Any given chance, I've got to lay down. I am just laying down. Whenever I'm in house, I'm going upstairs to lay down in my bed and watch TV. Why the fuck would I sit up when I can lay down? Why? Laying down is amazing. Unbelievable, innit?
Innit, mate.
What a great time it is when you're laying down.
Come over later, my mum made a roast. You're a bloody lover.
It's amazing.
You don't ever want to be not laying down.
Hey, Jack Wheat 6, let me tell you why you don't only want to lay down. So I found out that laying down ages you, like bad ages you. Like, you lay down all the time. I did not realize.
Why can't we have hobbies?
I did not realize that I should have stood up during the pandemic. I didn't. I laid down the whole damn time.
I was horizontal for 4 years.
I was talking to my dermatologist about how bad that my neck had started creeping. And he was like, you lay down too much. And I'm like, what? And it was like, I think I laid down for 2 years. I'm not joking. Everything was delivered.
How is that worse for you than standing?
I got it is bad for you because doctors, that's 4 out of 5 doctors agree, Kelly, and they're not the ones that are
on the
take.
Let's talk to the one who's not a moron then.
But the only time I think I went outside during the pandemic, I went to the grocery store a couple times, but I ground up a shot glass in my garbage disposal. And then I had
You're
to have
not
a
supposed to do that.
And then, but no one could come over to fix it, and I can't not have a garbage disposal. So I bought one on Amazon, and then YouTubed it, and I got some caulk, and decided that I could do it myself. And then my friend's mom, who's like a military wife, she was like, "Take a broom handle and beat it to hell," and I did it. It started working again. So then I had this garbage disposal, and they won't come and pick them up. So I had to drive it to Sun Valley, and I got COVID that day. No. The one day, yeah. So that taught me to stand up.
If you had just laid down the whole time, none of this would have happened.
That's what I mean. Yeah. That was sarcastic. It taught me to stand up.
Standing up isn't healthy.
But then I got a crepey neck, and there's not a lot you can do about that. Nora Ephron, I think, maybe wrote a book called I'm Sad About My Neck, or she said it. I know she said it. But I think it was a book.
Wait,
I really
can
think
you please
it was a
look
book.
Up and see if this is a book?
I think it is a book.
I'm Sad About My Neck.
I'm not joking.
The Nora Ephron story.
Yeah, I think it was.
I feel bad about my neck. Holy shit.
Is that Nora Ephron?
I thought you were making a silly joke.
Is that Nora Ephron?
I feel bad about my neck and other thoughts on being a woman.
See, here's the thing. So that clearly stuck with me from 2008.
Wow.
So I started feeling bad about my neck, and then my doctor told me it was my own doing because I laid down so much.
Well, but that's why you also shouldn't read books, because now you feel bad about your neck.
Too much. I know too much. Or actually, I saw that in an interview. I didn't have to read. You know how the pandemic went. The first 3 months of it were awesome. I spent 3 months eating hot Cheetos and drinking rum right out of the bottle, yelling at Turner Classic Movies, like, "Fuck you, little Lord Fauntleroy, you don't know!" Like, and it was having the best time ever. It felt like I was like, I'm really investing in my career here because I'm learning about the birth of film. And then 6 months into it, excuse me, my buddy called me and was like, "Hey, what are you doing?" I'm like, "A bird just flew past my window." And he's like, "That is not an appropriate response to that question. You must go outside."
Why would you go outside when you can see the outside from your couch?
I know. But you know what I mean? Because my whole world had become, if the most exciting thing that has happened to me that day is a bird just flew past my window, he was worried about me, and rightfully so. And then I think I lost and regained my mind like 10 times during that period.
Yeah.
I'm really social, like abnormally social. Like, I have to be out. Like, that's why when I travel, like when people are bitching about if we're not in a nice hotel, I'm like, we're not going to be here. If we're here, I'm going to be annoyed.
Yeah.
I'm out the whole time anywhere. And I can't even go on vacation to beaches. Like, people that can lay down for 7 days, I would lose my mind. Me and my ex went to the Dominican Republic right but right when it became a place to go, but it but you still couldn't kind of leave the resort. Like, we got there for 2 weeks, and then I asked the man at the front desk about a rental car, and he was like, two guys in a rental car, what do you think is going to happen to you? And I'm like, what? Maybe he was scaring me so we wouldn't leave the resort, but this was like a long time ago. And so I was trapped on this resort, and like 5 days into it, I'm like, I'm gonna swim back to America. I can't be here anymore. I cannot be on this island anymore, laying down. So I go on vacation to cities. I have to do things. I do cultural stuff in the daytime, like usually a museum, and get wrecked at night. Rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
That's how I like to vacation.
I accidentally had sex in the ocean in the Dominican Republic.
That's the wrong kind of friction.
Yeah, it's not all cracked up to be.
Porn makes it look like such a thing to do. The friction is wrong.
It's, and salt water is
drying. The wrong kind of wet.
I didn't like it. But he said, can I love you? And I thought that just meant like, I'm like, yeah, sure, you can love me. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, that's what you meant.
Can I love you? So
you had a little tryst.
Did he have an accent of any kind? Mm-hmm. See, that's the thing.
He was literally the Dominican version of my ex from home. It was like the mannerisms were the exact same. It was really fucking crazy. And so we like hung out all week. He worked at the resort, and so he and his friend hung out with me and Colleen the whole week. And then on the last night, I got duped.
So here are two lessons that are not the more you know, the more unhappy you're going to be. Don't have sex in water because it's the wrong kind of wet and the friction is weird. You're not going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
The other thing is, ladies, when you go on vacation, don't fall for a dirtbag despite him having an accent, right? Or because he has an accent. When I was, right after college, I was living in London, and one of my friends from high school came over, and we all went to France for the day. We went to Calais on the ferry. And she met this French dirtbag named Eric. And
Eric.
Yeah. And so we were at like a cafe, and he came over with a peach and said this, smell this peach. This peach is love. And like, if an American had come up to you and said this, hey, smell this peach. This peach is love. You'd be like, get the fuck out of here with that.
That's so true.
Jonathan. But he did it. And I was like, Eric, that's your thing, right? You just do that, and you bag every woman that comes off the boat. I'm sure that's what he does.
Yeah.
That's his part-time job.
Yeah.
And then he probably robs them afterward.
It's a very romantic, like French, Italian, very romantic sounding languages and accents that people just go crazy for.
See, I'm the opposite. Like, I mean, I like an accent, but after you're with somebody long enough, like it starts to get annoying. My first serious relationship was when I was in England, and my boyfriend, he would talk, like he had a really proper British accent, which I thought was very charming and very sort of like, you know, those movies like, ooh, play the pianoforte, like all that stuff. I was like, wow, I'm like a Jane Austen book here. And he was super handsome. But then in bed, he would narrate sex in the Queen's English, like this. First, I'm going to touch you here,
no. And
then over there as well. And I'm like, as well, motherfucker, you're saying as well in this circumstance? Like, I was like, and finally one day I was like this, Patrick, you have to stop. It's like having sex with Masterpiece Theater. This is not sexy. You're pulling me out of this.
I am affectionate to yours. Indubitably.
I'm excited. I've seen your elbow. I don't believe anyone you've ever met has seen your elbow before.
We must be since so close.
Yeah, exactly. It was creepy.
Well,
and garage and aluminium. Say it. Just say it. It's aluminum. It's not basil.
They have an extra I in the word.
They really do. Oh, wait, they maybe are they right? Are we right?
It's spelled differently here and there. So their pronunciation is correct for the spelling, but it does like knock you a little bit when you hear it. You're like, wait, what?
I don't think enough people...
Because Australians say aluminium too.
Yeah, because they're a Commonwealth country. Mm-hmm. But then Canada doesn't do it.
All right, we're going to get out of here.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Wow.
So it next really week, get ready to see DJ's elbows. And you can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/loadedpod. You can email us, probablyloadedpod@gmail.com. Follow us on socials @loadedpod. And rate, review, and subscribe.
Wow, you're very good at that.
Thanks.
And my elbows are pretty good looking.
No, I know. I'm really excited to see them.
Okay, great. I have to burn the warts off of them. Bye, guys.
Sit on down and pour yourself a glass.
And tune in to your favorite podcast.
Where things will be misquoted.
And a coated. 'Cause